This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to the show where we explore sex, sexuality and self. My name is Dean Beck. It's great to have Benny B with us. Hello.
Hello. It's great to see you again. It has been a while. What have you been doing, man about town that you are? Have you been well?
I'll tell you what I've been up to today. Excellent. What have you been doing?
Well, last weekend I watched Sex and the City twice and ate a cheesecake, so I feel it's probably not as exciting as some of the things that you've been up to.
You're out there. And Matthew Wade joins us. Welcome to you.
Hi, Dean. How's it going?
Now, you have been doing things.
I have been doing many things. I feel like it's been a long time since I've seen you, and I've missed, you know, this. Like, being in the studio with you, Dean, I've been counting the days.
You went away for a holiday.
I went away for a holiday, and I was initially going to come back and get right back into it.
But and then you pissed off on a junket.
I did. So I went on a press tour to the UK, which was amazing because it was private. Related, so a lot of gay shenanigans were had.
What Ooh. Is a press tour to the UK? What is that crap?
It means that me and a group of gay men went to Pride in Brighton and Pride in Cardiff and
had all expenses paid.
All expenses paid, which means I got to see Carly Rae Jepsen in concert for free. And yeah, it was great.
Well, not for free, free.
Well, naturally, I'll be writing up a bunch of stuff about it.
The real reason.
Well, that's right.
Compliments of?
Visit Britain, so the UK's tourism company.
Was it good?
It was so good. And you know what? The tourism part was great, but meeting a lot of people along the way was also good, just quietly as well.
And you would have had VIP passes to everything, of course.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the pride parties and all that, it was just, it was wonderful. I'm a changed person.
All right. More about that later. Yeah. On tonight's show, we're going to find out about a new organisation. It's been set up to help, socially network people with HIV, and they're undertaking a bit of a walk.
A very big walk.
An
impressive walk. You know, someone whose level of fitness is, I don't know if there's a level below zero, it's very impressive to me.
I went on the Great Victorian Bike Ride when I was 14, the first ever.
Oh, okay.
Lost a stone and a half. I don't know what that is in these days, the terms these days. But came back fit as a fiddle. Anyway, Rowan will join us. He will tell us about a Camino. Now, we'll find out what that is too a little later. Mm-hmm. But it's time for Hide and Seek News. Today, of course, is International Overdose Awareness Day. It is a special day where we acknowledge those that have gone due to overdose and their families and all that sort of stuff. And it's a day that was actually founded here in Melbourne. Did you know that?
I actually didn't know that, Dan.
Last year, 217 people died from overdose, more than died in a car accident in this state. And I caught up today with the founder of International Overdose Awareness Day. Now, Sarah Jane Finn, or Finn as she is known, works for the Salvation Army in St Kilda.
I'm a social worker at the Salvation Army Crisis Services down in St Kilda.
You really are at the forefront of it all. That's a 24-hour needle exchange as well as other things.
That's exactly right. We never close our doors for needle and syringe provision. And yes, there's a crisis contact desk and we run a medical centre next door.
You founded this International Awareness Day for those who have died due to drug overdose. Why did you do that?
I'd been hearing so many stories from the punters in the needle exchange around the fact that they'd lost people, friends, families, loved ones. And there was a sense that they didn't have a spot in the calendar to pause and think about those people. There was also a great amount of grief of having been sort of pushed aside when it came to have the funeral. So they really felt they'd been excluded from the whole process of grieving and that their partners or friends hadn't been represented properly either at those funerals. And I came to see that that was having an impact on how they felt about themselves and a sort of a secondary impact around how they would look after themselves, because if the community didn't care, why should they?
It's a highly stigmatised space, and that stigma gets in the way of people seeking services and it gets in the way of understanding and compassion. You see that every day.
I do see that every day. People have got a lot on their plate in terms of sort of getting on with their day. They don't feel that they deserve these services. So there's that going on, and there's also this sort of push for people who provide those services knowing what would work better, and yet the community won't really give us the lead that we need to put those things in place. We still feel like we're working sometimes with one hand tied behind our backs, and it's frustrating.
There were stories of hope today, and I guess for someone stuck in the depths of an addiction, there seems that there's no hope, and even for their family sometimes there feels that there is no hope. Do you see stories of hope coming through your door as well?
The resilience of the people that come through the door is astronomical. The connection they have to each other and what they think and feel is just such a lightning bolt for me to be reminded of how people are people first and then they have things that they do in their lives, whether we agree with it or not. Everybody in Victoria should spend at least one day in a needle and syringe program to see the people that come through the door. They would be amazed, and I continue to be amazed, 18 years down the track.
We've had world's best practice in needle exchange, and what's the real story behind the change in the 1 mil syringes?
It's a sad story, unfortunately, and I am loath to say that it's not over yet. It's all about money and Terumo shutting down one factory in one country and shifting the whole deal to South Korea, where they've rebuilt the machines. Not that that's South Korea's fault, but they have rebuilt the machines in doing that. And it seems that on every level, the quality has diminished. So even apparently the steel that they're using for the needle is not as good as the steel that they were using in the previous syringe. We are yet to sort it out, and it's creating a lot of havoc. I'm not sure what the end of the story is going to be, actually, because there's been bruising and scarring and collapsed veins, and the sort of carnage goes on a bit. So, and it's not good for people, and people are reusing other old syringes and sharing syringes if they've got an old one. And so it's actually, it's not a disaster. People are still picking up clean needles, but it's not a best case scenario.
Finn, you do amazing work. Keep it up, and thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for being so interested.
Joy 94.9. Finn has been doing that work for 18 years, and the question regarding the 1 mil syringes was one where apparently they changed about 3 months or so ago, and the new ones are just so different, and they're creating all sorts of problems.
Wow.
So it's not a good look. Anyway, check out Overdose Awareness. No, overdoseday.com, overdoseday.com. And remember, next year, 31st of August, is Overdose Awareness Day. There you go.
Oh, my, you asshole! What part of your job exactly is groping my ass?
Did I misread that?
What do you think?
Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
It is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Dean Beck, Benny B, Maddie Wade, and our special guest, Ruan, who is the founder of a group called Hivsters.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming
What is a hipster?
A hipster is a Melbourne or a Victoria-based hipster with HIV.
A hipster with HIV. Yeah, nah. Right.
Is that they have to, yeah, they have to be hipsters to qualify for the group, or...?
You don't have to be a hipster, no.
All right. Okay.
So why do we need another social group for people with HIV?
Look, the reason this started is I realised that there was a bit of a support gap, I guess, in Melbourne for people who are sort of 30 plus and HIV positive. And even though there are some other great support groups out there, I really felt that there was a need for one that's local, that's state or city based. You know, if you post on the wall, hey guys, I'm hitting, you know, some venue tonight, who's keen to come and meet me, you're gonna get some responses.
Is it another one of those private Facebook groups that I can't be associated with because I don't have Facebook?
Exactly.
Right.
Have you organised any kind of meetups? Like, is it kind of...
We do monthly meetups. We had a really big Christmas in July, or Hivmas in July, as I call it, which was awesome. We do monthly catch-ups, which I organise, and a couple of people help me with that. We just keep the engagement up. A lot of opportunity for people to catch up, connect, make some friends, create a little family.
And have you found some of the people that go along to these groups have found, I guess, a community through Hivsters? Like, beforehand, maybe they didn't have those connections or people to speak with?
Definitely. And that's the thing that gives me the biggest buzz. We have these events and then people come to me afterwards and go, I really found people that I can connect with, and it's so awesome that, you know, I can talk to these people and I can just be myself. So yeah, it really gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
No, of course. And when did it start again?
It started, I think, at the start of the year.
Why
the need? I mean, isn't Tim one of those?
Tim is a social group. Yep, yeah. Tim is a social group. I also wanted to add something to the Hivsters that I thought was missing. I think we're so fortunate to live in an era where we can just have one pill, crack on with life. We really need to celebrate how fortunate we are. And the Hivsters' sort of ethos, if you will, is we celebrate the upside of being pos. It's your HIV happy place. Tim is amazing for us for advice on medication or side effects and those kind of stuff, and it does an amazing job. But the Hivsters is more the social side. We're more like, we go out, we catch up. It's a social connection rather than advice.
And where something like HIV, I imagine, can get drowned a lot in stigma, like, I guess there's the purpose of the group to kind of focus on a more positive aspect, you know, a more social gathering, you know, celebratory, connection. Yeah.
Yep.
So what have you done?
What have I done?
Oh, like event-wise. What? Give us an idea of what.
We had a couple of barbecues in the park next to the river when it was still nice and warm. One for Valentine's Day, actually, which was fun.
That's very cute.
We've had the Christmas in July party. We have an upcoming Tempin Bowling karaoke night. So, you know, regular stuff.
And how did it come about? What motivated you to do this?
I did the PLDI course last year.
Which we should explain is the Positive Leadership Development Course.
Institute, yep. Which sort of takes HIV positive people out and we give them some resilience and leadership skills. And we essentially send them back into their communities to be pillars of support. After I did my course, I didn't really have any goals. And I came back to Melbourne and I was, you know, keeping an eye out to see where I can add value to my community. Mm-hmm. And the minute this came up, I thought, right, I've got the resources, I've got the time, I know how to do this. This is what I'm going to gun for. So I did. Started it overnight, and it's been really good.
And has it grown quite substantially, I guess, from the start of the year? Have you noticed it kind of a more groundswell of support? Like, you know, started off with yourself naturally, and then more and more people, word of mouth, have kind of joined?
Definitely, yeah. So we had a little bit of a rush at the start, and we're now up to, I think it's 120 members or 130 members.
Wow.
So slowly creeping up. I'm happy with the rate people are joining as well. We don't want to get too big too fast.
Yeah.
We want to keep it nice and intimate, and we want to be able to handle the amount of people who join us, so it's good.
So what is sort of your vision for the future of the group? You want to keep it sort of a small community base.
It will definitely be a Melbourne or Victoria based group. It'll remain that because, I do believe that there's value in keeping it Melbourne or state based. People can actually catch up with each other and add value. What I'd love to see is for members of the group to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to organize this event. What do you guys think? Yeah. And I want some more engagement because at the moment I'm driving it and I'm having fun doing it, but it's really a group for the people, by the people, and I want them to sort of take a bit of ownership. And well, I'm hoping that one day they will take a bit of ownership and start organizing events and getting involved because really we're all doing this together and it's, you know, one team, one dream.
And I was just going to say, as much as, like you're saying, it's a social group, I guess is part of it also to raise awareness to people perhaps outside of the group who may not be as aware of, you know, what it's like to live with HIV.
The group started as purely a social slash support group. And the sort of stigma fighting awareness campaign stuff kind of happened a little bit later.
Yeah,
it's mostly me, I guess, but I have an awesome team, and we'll talk about the communal later. But it kind of just happened organically after the AIDS Candlelight Memorial that I spoke at, and then we built our own little activist arm that's now active.
And you did speak of that Candlelight Memorial
very powerfully, I might add. Do you want to just tell us your story, which you gave in detail on that night, but it was a pretty powerful story.
I guess my story. It all happened the same way. I was, kind of started seeing someone, asked all the right questions, both being tested not so long before, and 3 months later, I woke up really sick. Went and got the tests, came back inconclusive. So I don't know if you guys know, five proteins need to show up. I think it's five. Three of mine were up, and the doctor said, you don't worry about it. You've been good. You don't have to worry about it, but we need to retest it. But I was on my way to Spain with all my mates. So I went to Spain, did all of that. And while I was in Spain, I got the email from a doctor saying, look, it's come back positive.
You're away from home on holidays with friends, and you get your diagnosis?
Yes.
By email?
By email. I asked him to.
Sure.
It was hard at first. I remember just being... The two things that stuck by me was the isolation, because I was with my best mates and I still couldn't tell them. Mm-hmm. So I felt really isolated, but I also felt really ashamed because I was, always out there and doing stuff and I'm a pretty active person, always had all these crazy stories, and this time I didn't dodge the bullet. Mm-hmm. So how do you own up for that? Kept on doing the holiday, kept my mouth shut. When I got to Barcelona, I went to the newly opened Pronto Clinic that was there, and the nurse took me through everything, and that's kind of what sort of, made me relax a little bit.
So how long after your diagnosis did you sort of did you start this group? Were you sort of feeling better about yourself? I want to be out. I want to be vocal.
Look, that quickly. When I came back from Spain, I went into the Phoenix newly diagnosed workshop at Living Positive Victoria.
Here in Melbourne, yeah.
Here in Melbourne, yeah. And that was sort of the first step.
Tell us a bit about that, because we often mention it, but and I know that you run it. Give us a bit of an understanding of what Phoenix is.
Look, it's just a weekend, like an intense weekend workshop where newly diagnosed people come together and we take them through the steps. We talk about disclosure in the law, risk assessments, what to expect, how to pick your doctor, because these things are all really important. But I think that the number one reason that it's such an amazing workshop is the fact that it's a peer group. So you have 15 new best friends by the end of the weekend, and they're all going through the same thing.
And I guess, you mentioned when you first found out about your HIV status, you felt a sense of shame. How was that journey between feeling that shame to then getting involved in the community, like you mentioned before,
and out and proud.
Exactly. Yeah. Like what helped, I guess, shift your view around that? Yeah.
So one thing I remember when I was in Barcelona at that clinic was the nurse said to me, he talks about it every day, like it's an everyday thing. And that's really helped him get over it and move on with it. Mm-hmm. So I came back to Melbourne and I promised myself that I was going to get involved in the community and I was going to, make a change. And I want other people to feel better. I don't want anyone to have that feeling when they are diagnosed in the future. So I'm going to work towards that. So that's what I did. I got active in the community. I started doing the Phoenix workshops, Positive Speakers Bureau, all this kind of stuff. And the more I spoke about it and the more amazing, courageous, fantastic people I met, the more I realized that it's not a thing. I just have to get on with it and help people.
Yeah.
You're pretty out there, as we can hear, loud and clear. but there are many who have HIV that aren't as either comfortable with it or as out about it or as public about it. How does Hivsters operate for them?
Look, Hivsters is essentially a private Facebook group, so you can only join if you are referred by a current member. And we want to leave it like that. We know that every person who are HIV positive have their own special journey and they're at their own level of comfort. So I want to respect that, and I want to make sure that these people feel safe. And the only people that are going to join will be actually be referred by members. So keeping it nice and tight.
That could be considered a little elitist.
It could be, but you know, we still unfortunately live in an era where stigma is so rampant, and you know, the fact that we have to be in a secret Facebook group just proves how silenced we still are by this disease or this virus, and that's why we're doing things that we're doing. We want to take away from, we want to end that silence, we want to end that stigma, we want to be able to have a hipsters group that's not private, and we can go out to a bar and talk about it, and it, you know, it doesn't affect us.
We're speaking with Ruwan, who founded Hipsters Victoria. What's the website?
Hipsters.info.
And when we come back, we're going to find out about a little walk that he did. Now, in 2014, AIDS 2014 was held here in Melbourne, and John Manwaring did a very special speech at the end of that. This is my version of what he had to say.
Every day, those of us living with HIV have to contend with fear and the irrational, often cruel reactions it incites. These reactions take many forms, whether a senseless remark or something as serious as a law that enshrines hatred and perpetuates stigma. These laws, these seemingly insurmountable barriers, are devastating. They fly in the face of all the progress we as a community have worked and fought and died and died and died to achieve. When governments legitimize homophobia and transphobia, when they criminalize sex work and drug use, when they stifle the rights and voices of women and youth, when they take us, the marginalized segments of society, and try to suffocate us into non-existence, they promote fear. They promote hate. They put policy above humanity. They enable stigma to thrive. It's incredibly tempting to give in, to give up, to fall silent, and quietly hope that in time things might get better. But the people, the groups, the governments that oppress us, they want us to think we're powerless. That we should sit down, be quiet, and fall back into the shadows. But if the past has taught us anything, it is this. Silence equals death.
It don't mean a thing if you can't hold him down.
It's a very hard truth to accept, but we do need to speak up. We are more powerful than we know. Right here at this moment in this room is the power to change the world. It doesn't require any special skill or talent. It requires from us only one thing: honesty. A simple conversation, one that is open, fearless, and forthright, will change the hardest of hearts and the coldest of minds. When those of us living with HIV come out into the light and share our stories, we dispel the fear, the stigma, and the hate. In the eyes of those who oppose us and oppress us, when we talk to them, we're no longer stereotypes and statistics. We're human. Human.
It don't mean a thing if you can't hold him down.
We're human, human,
human. You can take your man back. Tell him all that you want. But let me tell you now, you gotta hold that sucker down.
So starting now, I urge each and every one of you, don't be scared anymore. Don't be scared anymore. Be yourself. Be proud. Share your story. It isn't up to governments and NGOs to fix this for us. This is our cause. This is our time. And together we will put an end to HIV.
You're on Hide and Seek here at Joy 94.9. This is Ben. In the studio with me tonight is Mr. Dean Beck and Matt. And we have Ruan here from the Melbourne group, the Hipsters.
Who are going walkabout.
We sure are.
Now, what is a Camino, firstly?
So a Camino is Spanish for pilgrimage or a trek or a long walk, I guess.
Right, and there have been famous Caminos in the past, haven't there?
There are a few Caminos. There's one really famous Camino, the Camino de Santiago, which is in Spain, where you walk from France across Spain.
I love how he says that. Camino de Santiago.
Yes, and yours has been treaded before too.
Yes, so when the idea sort of came to me, I started doing a bit of research, and I just put in Camino, and lo and behold, up popped the Aussie Camino, which I never knew existed. So it had affiliations with Mary MacKillop and the little walk that she did back in the day. I'm not fully educated on it. and I thought, excellent. It's close. It's Victoria. It's manageable. It's chartered. It's going to be hard to get lost. Well, who knows?
There are towns along the way.
There are towns along the way. And yeah, it just kind of made sense.
So take us along that trek. So it starts in Victoria, and where does it go?
So it starts in Portland in Victoria. Mm. And then we sort of walk along the coast, Port Nelson, Port Macdonald, all the way along until we get to, I think it's Port Nelson is where we turn up. And then we go up to Mount Gambier and then end in Pinola.
And when
250 kilometres.
And when did that idea come to you particularly? So you started this Hipsters group, and then when did the idea for this one come up in particular?
So I started Hipsters, and then I got the amazing opportunity to speak at the AIDS Memorial. Mm-hmm. And then after the AIDS Memorial, I had a really good opportunity to talk to people who were there listening, people who had just stopped and started to listen. And the main theme that came out was there was sort of a misconception that people who are living with HIV aren't as capable as everyone else.
As physically,
physically, they're not capable. They're sort of restricted by their condition, if you want. And I took that back home, and I thought about it all night. And I was like, this is what it is. Stigma is because people are afraid. People are afraid because they don't know. We need to fix it. So let's start educating. And then I put it to the Hipsters. I said, look, guys, this is what I found. What do you guys think? And then I had a handful of people come back to me and say, this sounds awesome. Let's do it. And here we are.
And so who's going to be walking with you? Is it just going to be the Hipsters?
So it's Hipsters and friends.
Can we come along?
Yeah.
Can we come and watch?
So it's Hipsters and friends.
Hand you a drink as you sachet on by.
I'll wait.
Hold the drink and give me a foot rub when I get to the end. No, look, it's Hipsters and friends. So we did want to keep it a core group of people who are POS. But since we started organising this, we've had so much amazing input from the community and people wanting to get involved. That we've got some great people joining us.
Now, is it a fundraiser, or are you raising funds to make this happen? What's going on?
It's an awareness raiser, and we do need funds.
Right. and so how do people help you out if they want to?
Excellent. So if you go onto the Hipsters website, hipsters.info, there's actually a link that sends you to our GoFundMe account. So what we've done is we've planned everything. We've got the logistics, the support vehicles, the accommodation. We've done all the back-of-house stuff. And we've come to this magic figure, which is $16,000, which is what it will cost to take 15 people to do the Camino. So we're now in the process of just creating awareness. We've got most of the HIV advocacy organizations are supporting us, not financially, but they are supporting us. And we're just trying to get it out there to get people to help us to be able to do this.
And I guess what I'm curious about is, in terms of the awareness part of the trek, how are you guys going to go about doing that? I imagine you're stopping in different places over the course of the trip.
Yeah, definitely. So, the whole reason we're doing this is to create awareness and educate the community. So I see every opportunity that we have to raise funds, so fundraising events, whether they're big or small, is an opportunity that we have to educate. And then also on the Camino, at every town that we stop, I'm currently talking to the local healthcare professionals in that area to set up little events so that after I've walked my 10 hours, I'm going to go and talk to people there and do a little positive speaker speech and just let people know about the treatments and stuff like that.
We know that the greatest way for stigma to be eradicated is for those who are positive to stand up and to come forward and to put a face to the issue. That's not always easy for everyone to do, but the more and more that do that, hopefully the more that will be empowered by that, and it becomes its own snowball.
Look, I can't remember who said, but someone said to me, if every single person in the world who are HIV positive stand up tomorrow and said it, that will end stigma.
Mm.
That won't ever happen. But and I implored people in my speech at the memorial, saying, "Look, guys, this is our fight. Like, our forefathers stood up, regardless of their reputations. They protested. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen some of the documentaries that was made around that time. And they went above and beyond. And it's thanks to them that we are so fortunate and where we are today. But the fight's not over. We kind of just I feel as we were so happy that the ARVs, the antiretrovirals, came out. We're kind of just happy to be alive, and we've kind of let the ball drop a bit. And I really believe that it's this generation's responsibility to take up the reins again, stand up and start educating. And I'm not saying get on a soapbox on the corner and tell the whole world, but if you educate your friends and family and the immediate people in your that are around you, you'll start that ripple effect, and it'll get bigger.
I'm probably speaking out of school here, but bugger it. Ruan and I were in the same Positive Leadership Development Institute course.
Oh, right.
And it is so wonderful to see someone doing tremendous work out of that. I've got my own little project, which is soon to be announced, that has come out of that, that I've been working on for the last 6 to 9 months.
Great.
But it, it is quite, what's the word, transformative, that weekend away. So if you are positive and want to contribute a little more than what you do already, then I implore you to check out the there's a website, isn't there?
Yeah, well, you can just go on to Living Positive Victoria's website and follow it. It's the PLDI site. There's one coming up in Victoria soon, so
great.
Start applying.
Enrolments are there?
Enrolments are open. It's definitely, I can definitely recommend it. Like I said, I didn't have a goal before, but afterwards I was gunning. I was ready. I wanted to make a change. It's a fantastic workshop.
And you get so much out of it too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I've made the best friends there. Most of my closest friends are people who I met there now, and it's amazing.
I can tell you right now, he wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that weekend. So this weekend, it's more than a weekend. How long is it going to take?
It's going to go for, all up 10 days, but we're going to walk for 8.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. 250 kilometres.
8 days putting up with you.
Yep.
Wait, 8 10-hour days, and then also on top of that, a night, speaking to large groups of people, yes. Like, you're going to be exhausted.
I have a lot of energy.
Yeah, wow, evidently.
okay. And now, if you've got a few, can we say who's going walking with you? There's a couple of people.
We've had a couple of whispers, but it hasn't been confirmed. But look, Jai Wallace, the Aussie Olympian and enough ambassador, has confirmed that he is walking with us. He might not do the whole trek, but that's the beauty of the Camino. We're in a town every night, so you can join and come and go as you please. So very happy that he's coming on board.
And I know that our Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality was expressing interest in joining you for at least a couple of days.
Yes, I heard that as well. So,
so Rowena Allen,
get in touch.
Yes.
And what I was thinking as well, Dean touched on it. An additional plus about this trip is that, Dean, you're mentioning how it's important for, HIV-positive people to just tell their stories and how transformative that can be. But the fact that you're doing it also in these more rural or regional towns where people perhaps wouldn't ever be exposed to information around HIV is amazing as well.
And that was a beauty of when I did the research, the fact that it was rural, because I know, because I've been, sort of working in the sector, I've seen over the last couple of months that people with HIV who live in rural areas are very isolated, right. They're not supported, and they really need it. So if we can create a bit of a ripple there, happy to.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing
absolutely
outside of the city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fucking appalling, frankly. Yeah. Anyway.
But, it's going to be hard to have more because a lot of these advocacy agencies are all receiving massive funding cuts right now.
Right.
It's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very bad. Very bad. Bendigo is fortunately now under the care of the Victorian AIDS Council, so hopefully there'll be some changes there. In fact, I know there are some changes there needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good, but that's still miles away from Warrnambool, isn't it?
Or Cobar.
You've had a chat to some of the townships and players along the way. Tell us what you've been doing there.
I was also fortunate because I'm on the Positive Speakers Bureau at Living Positive Victoria. They sent me to Portland. I'm telling you, it's so weird how everything's panned out. But they sent me to Portland to do a couple of speeches at the schools there, and it was a great opportunity for me to stick out the feelers, talk to the locals there, and see what feedback I got. And I've got teachers and nurses and police people in all sort of in contact. They're helping me create it. They're going to create a little bit of buzz in Portland for when we arrive. They've really helped us, or were giving us some advice, where to stay, what to do, and stuff like that. So it's It's been really good.
And from what I hear, so far, everyone that you've expressed, you've mentioned this to, has given you positive feedback. Like, they've been really on board with the idea.
Definitely.
Right?
Touch wood, I haven't had any big no's yet. So it's just, you know, to me, it's very humbling that people are so happy to jump on board and assist. But it just proves that people know it's needed. It's definitely needed.
Given that you've had such positive feedback, I would, you know, assume that you'd get lots of good feedback from people that aren't HIV positive. You know, you're tackling stigma here. How important is it to have a safe space for positive only people, as opposed to bringing the negative and positive community sort of together? Is it like, yeah, is it really, really important that you have your own space, safe space, just for POS people?
Unfortunately, at the moment, yes.
Yep.
And that is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that we're doing this Camino.
Yep.
If it was possible for us to have a public HIV positive group and, yep, and then not be an issue, then we, yep, wouldn't need to be doing this.
Well, we've had a message come in on 0427 Joy 949 from Tim from Clifton Hills, who says, "Good on Ruan for organising this walk." Thank you very much.
Thanks
for that, Tim.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is made possible with thanks to over 300 volunteers who work hard every day of the week to keep us out, loud and proud, on air and online. And this week we'd like to thank Josh. Josh is the Technical Operations Coordinator at Joy, which means that all of our tech and IT is kept running smoothly thanks to him and the small but hardworking team that he manages. His expertise is vital to Joy operations, and he gives up an incredible amount of time to keep us working. From everyone at Joy, thanks Josh. To learn more about Joy volunteer vacancies, head to volunteer@joy.org.au. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
I'm on fire.
Hide and seek.
Fireball.
It is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. It's called Hide and Seek. Dean Beck, Benny B and Maddie Wade are here. Ruan is our special guest.
Hello.
And Ruan, you were telling us in the break, which I shouldn't have just said, but you got a really good line that I kind of like. Tell us that.
What I was saying was, so I do the Positive Speakers Bureau speeches out at schools and universities or whoever asks us to do it for them. And my opening line is, I don't actually tell people that I've become HIV positive. I just tell them I've lost my negativity. So I've always had some good,
brilliant,
now, surprise, Ruan, feedback.
We've had another message come through on 0427 Joy 949. And Ben, what's Joe got to say?
Joe says, "Hi guys, the Camino Project. What an inspired way to empower and build lifelong memories. Walk tall and proud. How long to go re-fundraising, Joe?"
Thanks,
let's tell them.
So it's just over 60 days. We actually have a countdown on our site as well.
Okay.
It's probably more for us to get us going with the training.
And if you would like to make a donation to help support the Camino Walk, you can do so by going to Hivsters, HIVSTERS.info, and there's a GoFundMe button there that you,
yes,
can then donate. Now, that's 16 grand, that's a lot.
Well, it's actually not that much if you think of it. It's 15 people, it's just over $1,000 per head for 10 days. And that's transport, accommodation, food.
Yeah, it's not a lot, actually. Not at all.
We're going on a budget. And that's because we're doing this on our own. We're, mm-hmm, not getting support from big organizations. Well, not yet, hopefully. But at the moment, we're setting this up and doing all the work as if no one's supporting us. Mm-hmm. So sort of.
And I love how you've written Camino, because the N-O is then got stigma. Can mean no stigma.
That was brilliant. One of the committee members who did that. He's, I liked it.
So there is a committee?
There is a committee.
Okay.
An amazing committee.
I thought it was all you.
Nope.
No, okay. So how many on the committee?
So there's about, I think, five or six people who meet regularly.
Yep.
And they all have their areas of expertise.
We should say it's not just for gay men either.
No, definitely not. I'm actually looking to, I would love to get some trans people involved to come and walk with us. While we're doing this, it's such a big event, and we're trying to create so much awareness. Let's get as many people as we can on board, mm-hmm, and really make, you know, the biggest ripple that we can.
Yep. And you've got a couple of women who are members of your group.
We have, yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. The idea of setting up your own thing from the ground up means, you know, creating a website, which you've got.
Yep.
Well done. I mean, what's the, other than the events, what else do you want to achieve out of running this?
Look, I just want to have a successful event which you know, educate, creates awareness, and if it helps people along the way, and if it can just make someone's life a little bit easier, then I'll be happy.
And can people get if they want support, can they get that through Hipsters? Or do you think that just sort of happens by osmosis through the social networking? Or?
Look, like I said, we're trying to create a platform where people can connect and create friendships. And we're all going through the same thing. We're at different stages of our journey, but it's essentially the same thing. So, yes, you will get support at Hipsters. You know, through the connections that you make. I don't want to say that it's just a sort of an advice or a support group.
No.
It is more the social side of things. But if you have an issue and you have a problem, it's definitely somewhere where you know, if you need help, someone will be there.
I went along to your Christmas in July thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ball.
Great.
Yeah.
I think everyone, it was a really good party.
It was really good fun. And, you know, I didn't know what to think that as I went toward, you know, to that. It was the first thing like that I've been to.
It was really good to see you there, actually.
Had a ball. And great people, too. Really lovely people.
Yep. And you know, that was also something that was organized by the people, and we put it all together. We didn't have any funding, so I had to really pull resources. I knew a mate who can get us cheap speakers, and I knew a bartender, you know, that kind of stuff. So we pulled it all together, and it was just amazing.
Night.
Yeah,
had
it was awesome.
Night. Yeah, very good. Now, you've been dipping your toe in this sector for a little while now.
Yep.
Give us an assessment of where it's at.
Oh, okay. I think that the sector needs money bad.
Right.
I think there's so many amazing people who are working in the HIV sector who are doing amazing jobs, and they are running at overtime. They're doing after hours. They're burning themselves out. And then you come back at the end of the weekend, and you find out there's been more funding cuts. And it must be so disheartening. I've just contracted for the last couple of months, and I was told today that my contract ends on Friday. So I'm also unemployed as of Monday, which is fine. But it seems that there's something that's happening in the sector now. The government's cutting funds, and my main concern is if we don't keep up the good work, in a couple of years' time, we're going to have transmission rates go through the roof again. All this hard work that we've done until now will be undone.
No, of course. I guess more generally, like outside of funding, do you think that by potentially like events like this or raising more awareness that it'll, I guess, bring visibility to the importance of funding in that sector? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I think the HIV advocacy organization, the VAC and LPV and those guys who have been there for a while, I mean, they're fighting, you know, hand and teeth to get some money from the government, where maybe it is up to us. Maybe it's up to the community now to stand up and say, look, we really want change. We're going to action it. And, that, you know, that's kind of what the Hipsters are doing, I guess. So we're not going to rely on these big organizations. I just remembered what John Manwaring said in that speech that you played earlier. Mm. You know, it is not about the NGOs and the big organizations. It's about the community standing up, getting together and saying, right, we want change. What can we do about it?
It's been a while.
It's well overdue.
John's speech was pretty powerful, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I was there that night, and it was just—it gave me goosebumps. I'm so fortunate, you know. I know John also, you know, through the sector and stuff, and it just gave me goosebumps to listen to him, and it just my heart went out to him. He's an amazing guy.
Ruan, well done. Congratulations with Hipsters Victoria. Hipsters.info is Hipsters. Where it's at, and click on the GoFundMe button and throw in a few bucks towards their camino. What's the date of it?
Early November.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us on Hard
to Seek. Thank you so much for having me.
Coming.
I'll be back with the boys right after this to say goodnight.
Radio Joy 94.9.
The show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Benny B, Maddie Wade, Dean Beck, wrapping it up for another night. Ruan's pretty inspirational young fellow.
Doing incredible work, yeah.
Very enjoyed that chat.
Now, you wrote an article, Matthew Wade, in a certain publication that you write for regarding this, I believe.
I did, a Star Observer. I actually spoke to Ron last week, I believe, late last week, about this. So I've been inspired for the past 7 days.
Trying
nearly.
To trump hide and seek, are you? And,
sorry, Dina. Yeah. Well, no, my heart's in two places, so I'm trying to, balance it delicately.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, thank you both for joining me this evening on Hide and Seek. Look forward to having you along again soon.
Likewise.
Andrew, hurry up and get back, will you? Jeez, thanks very much for joining us too. So you keep well, take care, and bye for now.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.